All right. Hello, everybody. We are back. I know it's been a really long time, or so it seems. I feel like I haven't seen these girls for the podcast for a while, but we are back. There's been a lot that's been happening with all four of us. So, and we are going to go into details of that at later episodes as they come and enter our lives. But we wanted to go back and actually kind of re-record an episode Alex and Meg and I had before Liz came back on from her maternity leave. And we wanted to get her input because obviously you just had a child, Liz. So you're right at the thresholds of it all, of trying to figure out marriage after having children and how there are hardships and blessings, but there are more hardships than blessings.
But, what hardships? What are you talking about?
But yeah, let's go jump on in. And Liz, how has your marriage been since having beautiful Elijah, the 1 year mark, right?
Oliver. Oliver.
Oh, Oliver. I said Elijah. Oh my gosh.
Mommy. There's a lot of kids in the mix of four of us now. So swapping names happen frequently.
And there's three E's. There's Elijah, Elliot, and Amelia. Mm. Well, I don't know why I said Oliver. I didn't say
all of them.
I said everyone else. Okay, it's been a year.
It's been a year.
How's your marriage?
And what a year it's been. Mm-hmm. Well, as you said this, my lovely husband opened the door and handed me a bar of chocolate. So in many ways, marriage is going great. I know. Nice. What a question. I would say marriage after baby, like you said, there's so many parts that are so hard. And there's a lot of parts that have been so much better. I feel like, well, Mitchell's a gem. He's always been a gem. I know he is, and I appreciate that I married that, but he is through and through a 50-50 parent. I definitely married someone knowing I would be getting that, but it's been revealed to be very true. I think I was really lucky that I grew up in a home where my parents were very, very much both heavily involved in all areas of my life. So I looked for that in a partner. I think there's even times where Mitchell might do more than I do. Shh, don't tell him I said this. So I think that lucky being, what was that?
Lucky duck.
I know I am lucky. I'm very lucky, but I also put up with plenty. Having a kid with him has just made me appreciate him so much more. I knew he would be a good father, but it's really so sweet to see it. Even
I give him a lot of credit. I don't think there are many guys out there who would wear a 1-year-old, mm-hmm. walk around until he mm-hmm. falls asleep. I mean,
yeah. No, he's actually known in our neighborhood because luckily we're through this stage, but for a long time, Oliver would only go to sleep in his carrier that Mitchell would wear and walk around at night. And everyone knows him because he wears Oliver and he walks our 3-legged dog. So he's famous in the neighborhood.
It's a kid, 3-legged dog.
Mm-hmm. How could you forget all that? So he's like you said, like that's totally a lot of things that a lot of men would just not mm-hmm. want to be a part of. And he like has thrown himself in wholeheartedly.
Have you noticed with him taking on kind of that role, a change in your relationship between you and him? Like, does he like it? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what I mean.
The marriage definitely changed. The marriage changes when you have a kid, no matter what. I think there's no way not to, because both of your lives revolve around your child now. Mm-hmm. And before, like it was really revolved around both of us, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
Just every decision was made like, okay, well, how is this best suit me and my husband? But now everything's not meant around that. So that's really hard. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's also crappy and more complicated and
every conversation, yeah. is about Oliver and how what mm-hmm. you do affects him. Mm-hmm. It's so mm-hmm. frustrating.
It is.
how do you feel that you, like, what are some things that you and Mitchell do or have done or have gotten advice from in terms of retaining your relationship and going back to it just being you and Mitchell?
We've tried to make time for dates. I would say that we probably don't do as good of a job as either of us would like to. I think a lot of our parenting choices, I would identify as an attachment parent. And a lot of those choices have led us to definitely, they're harder on our marriage. I think it's only okay because we both have made that decision together. Mm-hmm. And we constantly are checking in about that. But I know that if we made different choices, for instance, it would be easier for us to leave at night. And really, Oliver is not okay with me being gone at night. It's just, we're not there yet. And I think that's harder on our marriage. And we've talked about how some of our parenting choices for the time being, I think, have made our marriage, like, this time is a difficult time. And I know,
but the fact that you guys are on the same page about it, I think,
yeah, that's huge. Yes, it is huge. Otherwise, I would question a lot of my choices because they would be hurting our marriage. They would. Yeah. Right now, instead of it hurting the marriage, it's just hard. And this is a very difficult time. And I was just talking to my mom earlier and saying, like, you know, we want to have another kid next year. And then I don't know if we want to, we have talked about wanting a third. So I'm still breastfeeding. I plan to breastfeed as long as Oliver is ready for that. Then I'm going to be pregnant again. Then I'm going to be breastfeeding. And then I'm going to be pregnant. And then I'm going to be breastfeeding. And I feel like, so when are we going to be able to be back to, like, going out, like, for a weekend? Like, when's that? Well, it's hard. It's tiring. But you're right. Us being on the same page is the only thing that's made that, like, we're okay. We're okay.
Do you guys feel like, Liz, this is for you, do you and Mitchell fight more now that you have a kid? And you were saying how, like, the decisions used to be like, how is it best for me or you or my husband? But now it's about your kid. Do you feel like that leads to more confrontation or argument?
We aren't big fighters.
Okay.
We bicker more than we fight. So when we're talking about something big, I go into counselor mode and I try to be really calm. We definitely have much more difficult conversations. And I think they're also just more a part of our regular life. Talking about things like, well, you know, like, just any decision you're making, is this the right decision? How is this going to affect Oliver? How is this going to affect us? Are we sure this is the choice we want to make? I think it's more that it's just, like, now a part of, like, our everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Having to have talks like that. But I don't think we fight more. Yeah, I don't think we have.
That's honorable.
That is.
That is very honorable. I feel like, though, some of that is that I don't know from his perspective, but I bite my tongue more. I try to bite my tongue more than I used to. And so sometimes when I would have gotten in a fight, I'm like, you know what? It's just not worth it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Pick your battle.
And think all of these thoughts instead of saying all of these thoughts.
I need to learn that skill.
Charlie's listening, probably like, yes.
Charlie also learned that skill.
I pick battles more when it's like, okay, I'm running late, I'm stressed because I'm not happy at work, and I didn't have the shirt I wanted to wear today. That's when I get angry, and then it's like, I'll be really rude, and that's when we get in a fight because I'm not being kind, but never about the big things.
Yeah. But I suppose that's actually good, though.
Yeah.
Probably better that it's small, stupid.
I agree.
I've also gotten much better just in the last year at apologizing when I'm
also a skill I need to learn.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
I'm so not good at that.
I don't know. This isn't really just about marriage after kids, but one thing that I really was, like, so determined when I went into marriage was never to expect my husband to be a mind reader. And so I always am super clear with my expectations and my wants and my desires, even if that's like, you know, I've told you guys, like, for Christmas, yeah. I have this yeah. list and here are links to it. Because yeah. then I'm not like, well, he didn't care. He didn't try. So in every area of life, I try to be really clear with my how I'm feeling. And I think that helps. I do. Because Mitchell is not a mind reader at all.
I don't think any man is.
No. If you have someone that is like that, can he, like...
Teach a class.
5 pointers. No, but you know what, Liz? It's so interesting that you say that because I feel like you and I are very similar. And mm-hmm. I also, like, have with Charlie in the past been like, this is what I want for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I know I could just buy it for myself, but it's mm-hmm. $60 and I won't mm-hmm. do that for myself. Mm-hmm. So I want, like, you don't know what to get me. This is what I want. It was the color, the style, the size. Here's the length. This is what I want.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know what it is.
Because I like freaked out about it last year. Mm-hmm. And then he mm-hmm. didn't buy it. And it was like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And he like made a comment about, I don't know what to get you. And I was like, I told you exactly what I wanted. And he was like, well, I don't, you know, but you should just buy that for yourself. I'm like, but I won't. I think we mm-hmm. talked about this, you know, like I made it really easy for you. And then, so he of course went, bought it, did not buy the right color, size, or style. And then was like mad at me because I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. It's nice. It's not really what I wanted. And it kind of does this thing and it doesn't do this thing. And thanks. I guess I could, maybe I'll return it and get the one I wanted. And he was like so pissed at me. And I'm like, oh, shit. So like even, and then we fought about that. So like,
yeah.
When I try to be clear, I feel like it doesn't work. But I think it's good that you have that kind of relationship and that Mitchell responds and says like, okay, this is easy. She's being clear with what she wants. So I know what my role, like how to react or respond to her is.
Do you find that that's changed even during the dating times though? Like, is that kind of the same or has that changed over the years?
I feel like as we've been together longer, I also have, okay, this sounds wrong, but I'm thinking about it in gift giving ideas. I have less expectations. I'm kind of just, I don't need a lot. I don't want a lot. You know, we try to do a lot of like, I'm just stuck on the gift idea. We try to do things together instead. I'm sorry, I'm going to segue to something else. Tell me if this is bad. But I'm just thinking one huge part of marriage after kids that has been a big, I don't know if it's different for us than it is for others, is the fact that Mitchell works from home. Mm-hmm. And Mitchell made this decision to work from home because he wanted to be able to have the opportunity to be there for all of the little things. So mm-hmm. first of all, it takes so much stress away from me because on the days that I do work, I don't have to wake up and make sure I'm getting a kid ready to go to daycare. Mm-hmm. I get up and I worry about myself and then I feed Oliver and I leave and Mitchell takes care of him until someone comes over to watch him. And, you know, the other day our nanny had to cancel and he was there until someone could get there. Like mm-hmm. he is there for every doctor appointment that we have. He is there for everything. But I've also realized that if that weren't to happen the next time, it's affected the kind of mom I am because a lot of things I've learned to do as a duo, you know, a lot of our mm-hmm. routines are both of us have our role and mm-hmm. I'm kind of lost when he's gone.
That's so interesting.
I know you are.
Like a single parent, like 4 nights out of the week. Because mm-hmm. John works nights. I mean, which is fine because he is making great money being mm-hmm. a night shift nurse. And he is able to be there for the kids on the days that he's off. And he is now picking up the kids because I went back to work. But so interesting. Because I feel like when I leave sometimes, he's like, what do? Like, you just take care of them. Like, no one told me what to do. You just do it. Just do it. It's fine. And then if something's dirty, then, you know, we'll figure it out when I get home. Just like 90% of the case. because things are usually dirty by the time I get home.
Well, and then, like, Gina, I feel like we used to be kind of similar to what you were with our schedule. And now that Jeremy works from home Monday through Friday, now we're to, like, the regular work parent schedule. And so trying to shift into that, it's like a whole nother ball game. And trying to figure out how do we do the 50-50 night, like, bath time routine and who takes what and how is it equal, and trying to figure that all out is really complicated.
Yeah, and as we've seen, something so opposite. Yeah.
And as we see now, like, our conversation has segued into our children. As we were supposed to be about marriage. I mean, this is exactly what happens.
I think the point after marriage that I was thinking is that I'm so grateful that it when I'm frustrated or mad or annoyed or pissed off at him, I think my gratitude is so great for what it helpful and involved parent he has, that it gives me a lot of grace for when he's maybe not being the best partner. I have to say, I'm not saying he's a perfect partner, but I think I have more doubts about how I am as a wife since having a kid than he is as a husband. So I think I have more insecurities that I'm not putting him priority, that I'm not doing enough to focus on our marriage, than I feel like, oh, he should be doing more. I think that I should be doing more at times.
That is very interesting.
Yeah,
I know.
It's opposite
from how I feel.
Yeah, totally.
Another thing is, it ebbs and flows because, like, our schedules are always changing. Totally. Like, over the 4 years of having Penelope, there were times when I worked close. There were times when I worked 2.5 hours away and he did everything in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't even see the girls before I left. So, like, I think it always kind of comes and goes. Right now, we're in a phase where, like, he's in grad school. So he has class Monday, Tuesday, Thursday night. So he's not home for the girls at all. And then those nights, I feel like, God damn it. Like, doing everything for him and blah. And then, but then there's also days where he just, like, takes off work to help me and does everything. And I'm like, God, you're amazing. Thank you. Like, I can't do this without you. So it's interesting that you're in a position where you mostly always feel like Mitchell's a 50-50 partner. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, your marriage before kids, are there things that you wish? So I had a friend, I'm going to ask this question, but I want to preface it with, if I had a friend who just got married two weekends ago, which is actually why we were in California and we got to see you ladies. But, and she really, really wants babies. And her husband is a little bit younger than her. And he's like, you know what, let's take, like, 2 years and just chill and enjoy. And so I was kind of trying to tell her, like, I know you want to have kids, and I've never really been the type of person to tell people to wait because of our infertility struggle. I'm like, if you want kids, try, because you never know. It'll take a long time. But with her, I felt like you should have a year of being a married couple, because my reasoning was because you need those memories to, like, go back when your kids are and you're like,
and
you're,
I think,
not
especially
sleeping,
though,
like, remember when we did it in a hot tub in Arrowhead, like, or when we, you kind of, like, need to.
Did you guys do it in the hot tub in Arrowhead?
Oh, I don't want to know this. I don't want to know.
I don't think we did.
Megan?
In the hot tub.
We were married for a few years before having baby, and we were together for 7 years before, and I'm so grateful for that time.
Yeah.
I totally recommend to people, you know, I agree with you taking into consideration all things, but it's a really precious time to be able to be married and have it be just you. Mitchell and I traveled a ton, and they're some of my favorite memories. And it was such a nice, happy, easy time of our life.
Yeah.
That I would not give that up for anything.
So, like, my brother just got married too, and I think this was the thing. Because I feel like your friend that got married and my brother, kind of a similar amount of time. She may have been dating a little bit longer than my brother, but similar. And I feel like it was such a short amount of time that, in the long grand scheme of things, that, yeah, take a year. Like, as I know, there, you never know what you can expect in life, but take a year to just enjoy being together and get yourself ready. And not that you're ever ready, for kids, because you never are, but I feel like, yeah, you've got to enjoy just being the two of you and live together and get into that routine, because very quickly that routine changes.
Yeah.
And I tell people
let
that too.
Let me tell you people out there about
Gina's dating.
I had 6 months of precious moments of just me.
Six wonderful sweet months.
But I think with John and I, we were at a point in our lives where we were already thinking of like marriage and kids. Like we were getting closer to our 30s. So it was a thought. And then that thought just magically appeared in my uterus. But take that time, because it is a lot of hard work. And like Alex said, you're not ever really going to be ready, but you're never going to have that time of just it being you two, mm-hmm. and not having to plan around dates and traveling and so much around kids. I mean, it's a lot to think
about.
It's
like an opportunity to build your foundation before you have your children.
And I'm really lucky that John and I, we were instantly so close, and we both are very similar in how we feel about things and what we love to do, that we do have that. But I think what it comes down to is we are both open and communicating what we're feeling. And we've gotten a lot better. And I think that's what our hardest part was in our relationship, is that communication of what you're truly feeling and not being afraid of being vulnerable with that person, because that's a huge step in any relationship. And bottom line, communication is always going to be key, whether it be with you and your husband. But honestly, my marriage probably would not have been so strong without my connection with you guys and being able to communicate how I'm feeling and kind of going through what's going on in my mind without you guys. Like John, probably I would be bald and I'd probably be in jail. And if I didn't have you guys, because I wouldn't be able to let out my frustrations and talk. And you guys have literally been there and been like, just talk to John. Like, you know, you've given me pointers and you've helped me overcome so much of that fear and anxiety that I usually feel about talking and, you know, sharing our stories with each other really helps me understand how to speak to John and what points maybe he's feeling, so that I can cross.
Sometimes think you have to like run it through an audience first.
Yeah.
You're like, am I crazy?
What am I both?
What are my highlights here? Which battle should I pick tonight? Like, we're gonna bring up a few issues. Which ones are they gonna
Which ones should I go after tonight?
Yeah, definitely. But I am very glad and happy to say that all of our marriages are holding strong. And after how many kids there are between us, I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids between us and more to come. But
7.
No, 7?
6.
7.
I was like, who am I missing?
What? How do we not know?
Who's having a baby?
No.
Just kidding. I can't add.
It's good to know we are holding strong. And I think we're going to kind of segue this into what we recorded before. Because we're moms, we're not tech savvy moms, we're just moms, and we don't know what we're doing, but we just want to bring our lives to our audience. So we're going to pick up to where we recorded last with just Megan and Alex. But Liz, I love that you're a part of this episode and that everybody else was able to hear your side, because it's so different from what Alex and Megan and I have gone through, because the way your careers have gone and what you've chosen as your lifestyle is different. So your feelings, I hope that they reach other people out there that are going through the same thing and know that they can work out their problems too.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So thank you, everyone, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Hi, this is Megan,
Gina,
and Alex
from the 4 Mom Friends podcast. Have you heard of this app called Marco Polo? It's what we use to connect with each other every day. If you haven't tried it, we recommend the download. It's like a video walkie-talkie. We're able to talk and listen to each other on our own schedules, and we love it. Even being miles apart, we've never felt closer, thanks to Marco Polo.
All right, so we are back with another episode of the Four Mom Friends podcast, and this time we are talking about marriage after children. How do you survive? How do you get through, especially those really early years where you're sort of just in, we always say, in the thick of it, right? Diapers and wiping bums and changing clothes and trying to just give your kids are not independent yet. So you do everything for them or with them. How do you sustain a marriage that's happy and healthy and romantic and passionate during all of that? Now, I have no fucking clue. So Alex, tell me.
Oh, because I am the master at this. Thanks for the lead-in, Megan. Well, we have a couple of topics to talk about, but I don't know. I find one of the most interesting ones is conversations between me and Jeremy and my husband, and how if we can even take an opportunity to have a date night, somehow all we talk about is Elijah. Mm. And halfway through, it drives me insane because I'm like, wait, we've literally just spent half of our time away talking about him and what he's been up to or what he's doing or what issues or challenges we're having. And I find that the times that we can have a really good conversation and not talk about him, I feel so much closer to him. So, and you know, maybe TMI, but we tried to take showers together because water conservation. I'm in LA, you know, but
that's my excuse. Way to go for the planet, Alex.
Right. That's my excuse. But so a lot of the times we actually have really good conversations in the shower, mm-hmm. and they tend to not be about Elijah, and it's great. I mean, yeah, sure, we're naked, but you know, that's not why I feel close to him. I feel close because we have adult conversations, whether it's important political conversation or just about our day and getting to know our, you know, each other's coworkers. I think that's a really good, important way to get closer because we're actually learning about each other's minds that maybe we didn't know about before.
Yeah, I think that's such an important part. Alex, you and I have talked about it before too, about this idea of intimacy and how men or maybe other significant others would take intimacy as being just pure raw, like sex, like just doing the D. And it's yeah, that does obviously play a role in sustaining a marriage. There's intimacy in very different ways. And I take intimacy as having those conversations and having, sorry, my I'm totally talking about this, but it's exposing her to.
It's important. Real life.
But yeah, intimacy is a huge role, I think, in sustaining your marriage and finding out who you are, because who you married way back when is not necessarily who you are married to now. We each change, mm-hmm. We each go through different things that makes us almost different people. We're the same in our core.
I'm pretty sure that Megan and I would not have married, well, even dated our now husbands if we met them in high school.
No.
Because they were
idiots. I would not have dated Charlie if I met him in high school or college.
But I agree with you. I think intimacy is this word that gets used so often that almost has like so many meanings or almost no meaning anymore.
No meaning.
And I have tried to have this conversation with Charlie so much. He feels like intimacy is touching and snuggling and kissing. And I feel like intimacy is deep conversation or laughing. Like if we can laugh together and have fun together and be silly and goofy and tickle, mm-hmm. I feel like a 21-year-old again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm into you and I love you. And because you've made me laugh, because laughing for me is sort of like the key to my comfort, I guess, my comfort zone. But I find that, Gina, what you just kind of were saying was so interesting. People, you change. Like when you meet your spouse at 20 years old or however we all were, you're not really the same person that you were, nor are they. And I also think you can't expect them to be the same. And after you have children, it's like you change even more. I know, like, before I had kids, sex was like so important to me, and it made me feel connected to him, and it made me feel like attractive, and it made me feel that was how I showed passion and all of these things. And after marriage, after kids, I like sex. That's great. It's wonderful, but it's so exhausted. I'm so exhausted that I don't,
it's not the way
that I feel like connected to him anymore. I like having sex still with my husband. And when we do have it, I'm like, wow, that's wonderful. We should do that more often, but I'm not itching for it or yearning for it because I'm yearning and itching for time with him. Like I'm missing quality time with him more than I'm missing sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the same boat.
Dina currently has her daughter on her lap, so she's not saying anything inappropriate.
But she can't hear us, so that's fine. We can talk about what you we guys want.
You guys can be pirates for all I care.
So talk like a pirate day?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think marriage by itself is hard, but marriage with kids is even harder because you're adding another stressor in your life. As much as we love our kids, kids are stressors and they push your buttons. And at the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do anything else. At least for a lot of moms, I know.
Yeah. I feel like you said, Megan, but sex has become a different topic now. I mean, they've changed because jobs have changed, but you know, we kind of almost have a set schedule to nights that are supposed to be quality time for us that, you know, if everything goes well, we get to have sex. some weeks that doesn't happen, you know, or it gets pushed to another night or whatever. It's sad that it needs to be almost like something scheduled in the date book, but I think it almost kind of has to be if you want to have it, because the impromptu throw yourself against the wall, you know, makeout session can't happen.
Those don't happen anymore. Yeah. I find that the like impromptu is Charlie like lives his life like it's in a movie. So if it's not impromptu and passion thrown against the wall and like, you know, halfway up the stairs, then for him, it's not like raw enough or, you know, passionate enough in the planning or the scheduling or like making sure we do connect or have a date night. To him is like, what are we, 90 years old, you know? But I find that you can't do impromptu when you have children because they take up 99% of your day. You only have a little bit left. So if you weren't planning to use that little bit left for your spouse or with your spouse, or you weren't planning together to have the same 99%, right, 10 to 11 or 11 to 12 or whatever it is, then it never happens. And I find that with our schedules, if we don't like try to like look at it ahead of time and say, this is where we put it, it never happens. And all of a sudden you blink and a month has gone by. And it's not like you want a month to go by. It's like you didn't even notice because you're both so busy or not home together. Your shift's passing in the night. One of you's taking the night shift. One of you's taking the day shift. Your works are conflicting. Your school schedules are conflicting. So impromptu just does not happen. But I don't know how to make it so that his expectation of impromptu goes away, because it's not gonna happen. We're also not gonna have impromptu date nights. Like if we need a date night, we need to schedule a sitter.
And most sitters are so busy nowadays, if you don't do it at least a month out, you know, you're screwed.
You're totally screwed. And we need like a backup sitter for when your sitter calls you and says that they've got the flu or whatever it is. So it's like you need to have all your ducks in a row.
Dating your husband is hard.
Husband is hard, but I feel like you guys get to date a little bit more because John works
such weird schedule.
And he has
we have lucked out in our schedules. I don't work Fridays, thankfully. Now that I have started working again, I only work Monday through Thursday, and then John's a nurse that works at night. So the Fridays that he gets off, we have Friday days together. And what's been hard, though, is we moved to San Diego, which is very far away from all my family, all my friends who were watching our kids on date nights. We have his brother who lives here, but they're nurses, too. So it's been hard at nights having those times. But I think, though, with marriage, it's important to try and strive for those date nights, because not only are you maintaining that relationship for yourselves, but you're also kind of showing your kids too, yes, what a healthy relationship is. And it's another part of parenting. I mean, you know, showing them what a healthy relationship looks like is important because there are so many avenues for them to see what unhealthy relationships mm-hmm. look like. And their first and foremost impression of what that looks like is going to be us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so deep, Gina. No, but you're so true, but I never really thought of it like that. Because when I think of what her impression is of my relationship, I'm always cautious to make sure we aren't fighting in front of her or disagreeing or arguing.
In a negative way.
But I sometimes forget that it's really, I definitely forget all the time, that it's really important for her to see us kissing and hugging and laughing and showing love and going out on dates and taking time mm-hmm. for ourselves. Like, that actually is probably more important. If we fight every once in a while in front of her, like, that's not going to damage her. It's not going to kill her. If she's seeing all the good stuff, it's going to be better.
Yeah, which is ironic because that's one of the lessons I learned from you, Megan, is when I first had Hayden, we were out in Arrowhead in a spa and we were talking about your parents and how they retained their relationship in their marriage and they went through the rough patches. But one of the things that your mom told you, and it still sticks with me today, and I tell people who are expecting about it all the time, is one of the biggest things is not to forget your significant other, that they are the number one priority. Mm-hmm. Your kids don't take over that priority from your significant other. And that is so true. You cannot forget your significant other. They are the reason, first of all, that you have it. And second of all, you know, you made a kid because of that love that you have for them. And mm-hmm. because of that love that you have, that you share, and you wanted to create a version of little yous together. And it's important to not forget that. It's important not to forget what established that marriage in the first place. And I think that is what is hard in when you have a kids, is you kind of lose that spark and kind of forget that that's the reason why that you did have kids. And I remember having a conversation with one of my ex-boyfriends way long ago. We were kind of like our ends of our relationship. Analogy that I used at that point didn't work out. But anyways, the analogy that worked, that I said at that point, was our love was kind of like a campfire. You know, it can't keep burning if you're not going to put any kindling in it. Hmm. You can't get the same wood to keep that fire burning. And that's the same with marriage and love. You can't use what you had at the beginning of your love and at the beginning of your relationship without adding more additions to it. You need to keep adding and finding new avenues that helps spark it. And sometimes that fire goes low and gets a little dim and there are other things coming at it that'll try to put it out, but mm-hmm. you reestablish it, you reaffirm it, and you find new ways to spark that love and that interest in each other again. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be rocky. And I think, especially in this day and age where divorce kind of seems like
easy. Yep. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Now, almost like, it's scary to be married now.
It's
almost as if that commitment that you had with marriage isn't as strong important. As it was back in the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's so interesting that it's so weird what your friends remember about, like, your experiences together. I vaguely remember being in Arrowhead and having this conversation, but you seem to remember it so vividly. But I have always said that about my parents because they've always said that about me. I remember being young and asking my dad, like, if you were stranded on a desert island or, like, whatever, if the house was burning down, you could only save one person, who would it be? And I'm always thinking he's going to choose between me and my sisters. Like, which, it's going to be me. I'm the favorite right now. Bailey and Katie are in the theater, so it's definitely me. And my dad would always be like, your mom. I'd save your mom. There's no doubt. I can make more kids, but I can't make another one. You know? He was straight up about it. Like, she's my person. She's my partner. Like, that's what it is. And I remember every Valentine's Day, he'd come home with, we'd all get one rose, and my mom would get a huge bouquet, and it was like, yeah, you guys come after her, right? Like, she is my best friend, she is my girlfriend, she is my queen, y'all just a product of that, but she's the woman in my life. And while I know that, it's also hard to do that.
Absolutely. Sometimes. Well, and I mean, it's kind of a joke, right? But it's like,
you're married and the husband's number one, but then isn't the joke that after you have kids, you're not, the husband's not just number two, maybe they're number three or four if you have a dog and something else. Yes. And like they're at the bottom, right? That's the joke. So how, and if it's a joke, there's obviously some like reality to it. It becomes a stereotype. Yeah. So how do you change that? And how do you get over that? I mean, I would venture to guess that Jeremy probably thinks a little bit that way, that he's probably number two behind Elijah. And yeah. I also don't know that I think of him as number one.
Verbalizing. I feel like men do not get any type of slight hints or anything.
No, at least not our husbands.
And I verbalize it. I verbalize it to my kids, you know, and I think it's this idea of telling your kids when they ask you questions, like, no, daddy's first. Like,
yeah,
he's my number one. I do love him. And, you know, I love him because he gave me you too.
Yeah.
I don't feel that like, oh, mom loves me less. It's not the idea that they love less. It's a different kind of love.
It's different, yeah.
It's a very, very different kind of love. And as much as I don't like sex. It's not, I don't like sex. It's just, and I have a million bajillion things going on that I'd rather do and that I need to get done. And that's the way a lot of moms' minds work.
That's my head too.
Right. But I want to spend that time with him. And I know that's what my husband likes. And I think it's a give and take of doing things that each of you needs
at that moment
to fulfill your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what a marriage is at the end of the day. It's a partnership. It's two whole people coming together to support one another. It's not you always leaning on top of each other. It's you're two individuals. And I think that's what makes marriage is so special is out of all, sorry, so scary guys. What makes marriage is so special is you are your own individual person. And I honestly don't believe in a soulmate or that one special person. There's so many people out there in this world that you can love, but you're choosing that one person to stick it out
with
and to do everything with and to go through those hardships. And you have to know that you are going to go through those hardships.
Right.
So many hardships that you're going to go through, and you have to talk, you have to communicate, and you have to compromise, and you have to find out what each other's needs are and do your best to fulfill those needs with each other. Cause that's the problem. Have kind of made each other.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question, even though I don't have the answer, but have either one of you read the 5 Love Languages book that everyone's talking about right now?
No.
No.
What are the 5 love languages? I know one of them is like gifts. One of them. Yeah, I think you've told us, Megan. It's like one's gifts, one's like touch, one's communication. I'm
trying to quickly Google it, but words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. So I have had so many girlfriends recently in marriage struggles that have read this book and have felt like it has helped them, because I think what we sometimes, even if you know it, like kind of up here in the top of your head, it's hard to practice it or think of it consciously during a moment with your husband, that their love language is probably very different than yours. You know, if mine is quality time and Charlie's is physical touch, I need to give him physical touch and he needs to give me quality time. Even if I don't care to do physical touch, right. I need to remember that that's the thing he needs to feel my love. But he needs to remember that the thing I need to feel his love is quality time. And I also think that like putting these two things, say that, you know, if we're pretending they take up X amount of time, mine takes an hour, yours takes an hour. How do you carve out 2 hours a week or whatever it is so you each feel each other's love?
Yeah.
Because consciously deciding that that's what I need and that's what you need and that's how we're going to continue to make this like powerful and perfect, or not perfect, but great, then how, I don't know, you have to be able to do those, carve out that time. But we definitely struggle carving out the time for each other. And then when we get time randomly or impromptu or whatever it is, we're like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I am so in love with you. Oh, I am so in love with you. We need to do this more often. But then bam, 6 months go by and we don't have a date night. Yeah. And then we're kind of like at each other's throat and we're forgetting that we, you know, why did I choose you? You are such a turd nugget. I don't understand. Like,
and then that's when you find yourself in that position, that's when you have to say, okay, we need to take a time out. Let's go do our own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We need a day night.
You have to recognize that. And I think that's probably the hardest part.
Or planning ahead so you don't get to that point.
Yeah.
Taking time for yourself is okay.
Yeah.
Like taking that time where each of you are separate is okay too.
Yeah.
You don't have to be together to maintain a relationship.
Sometimes if you need to be apart.
Yeah, you have to miss the other person.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I know. I'm not really good with being apart from him. Like if I'm not with him, I feel guilty that I'm not choosing him over whatever. Like, I never go get my nails done, ever. I always want to go get my nails done. But I can't give myself the hour to go get away because I feel like I'm either leaving him or I'm leaving Penelope.
Well,
I feel guilty about both of them.
I think we should just open up, like, 24-hour nail salon, and then this solves the problem because we can go at 10 p.m., Why are they not open late?
I have been saying that my whole life. You know what I need open late? I need a yoga studio after 9 p.m. I need a nail salon
and a fucking hair salon to
be open on Sunday. Yeah. Why the fuck aren't they open on Sunday? I don't understand.
Past 8 p.m.
Or even
5 a.m. Hell, even if I have to go first thing in the morning.
Seems easy. But when I get really rich, that's exactly what I'm going to open. A yoga, hair studio, a nail salon.
With a baby, with a daycare.
With a daycare. Because, oh my Lord.
Yes. Anyway.
So we called my mom. So this is Megan. We called my mom and we asked her. Actually, we asked all of our moms. So let's back up. We asked all of our moms what it was that they feel like helped keep their marriage strong through children and after children. And Alex, why don't you go first with sharing what your mom said?
Sure. I said, give me one liner. Like, what is your 2 cents? And she said, marry your best friend. And that was kind of like, oh, that's not what it's funny. Cause it's not what I was expecting her to say, but it is something I've heard her say often. And I do have to say, so I find it's funny, we talked about Arrowhead. Arrowhead is a family cabin of mine, and one of
that we all love.
Yeah, that all of this is a serious group home. We were up there one time very early on, Jeremy and I, with I don't even remember who was up there. I'm pretty sure Charlie was there, but this I think was pre-Megan. And yeah. I think it was the summer pre-Megan or something like that. And then some other friends, and I drive the boat, and which meant I couldn't drink all day. And at the end of the day, everyone was exhausted from drinking and being in the sun. And I just wanted to have a drink and have fun with everybody. And everyone was kind of like done and over it. And I was really upset because I wanted to partake in all of that. And everyone was kind of like done for the night. And I was really upset. And I kind of just went and sulked in the room for a little bit. And Jeremy came up and reminded me, I mean, this is when we were still just dating, but reminded me, you know, this, I'm here for you. I'm your best friend, or at least you're my best friend, you know?
Yeah.
And that was kind of a moment for me that it kind of sparked. I hadn't thought of it that way. And I just think, and I constantly remember that. And I think about that all the time, that we are each other's best friends and we can't get through this if we don't remember that and don't continue that relationship.
Aw, schmooks. So, Tina, do you want to say what your mom says?
What you thought your mom would say.
What you thought your mom would say, and then what she did say.
So, preface. My parents are very, very religious. I grew up in a very religious family. They are Catholic. And I thought my mom was going to say, mind you, my mom is from the Philippines, so she's a very heavy Filipino accent. She said, we pray to God, is what I thought she was going to say. And she legit responded with, let me get back to what she said, making God the center of your relationship. I mean, if you're religious and God is important to you, I think that's
beautiful.
A very, very takeaway. Because that is something beautiful. That's something that you two share. And that's something that would stand hold in your relationship. That's kind of the pillar that you're basing your relationship on. So if you build your relationship from that and continue to build your relationship from that, that is a beautiful thing. And you should continue to do that and strive for that. And I think the values that I learned growing up within that type of religion lends itself in marriage. My mother went on to say, you know, trusting each other, communication is important. And one of the things I love and took away, and I think it's because I was raised by her, is sharing jokes, even if it's corny. My dad very corny jokes. I find myself doing the same thing. But that is so true. Being able to laugh with each other is another form of love. And mm-hmm. I think that's so important to share those laughable moments and to share those smiles and to have that happiness together. The last thing she kind of ended with was, if you're in a disagreement or a fight, to make sure that you talk about it and settle it before you go to bed, which is so weird because I'm the same exact person. I do not like going to bed angry. I don't even like leaving the house angry. I don't feel that it is a good way of showing how much you care, because in this world, things are so unexpected. Mm-hmm. And to be able to settle those things is important. And what I've said and what I completely believe in is communication. Communication is key, not only in marriage, but in every single relationship you're going to have mm-hmm. in life. And what we were touching base on earlier about the different languages of love, it's also the same for every type of relationship, is learning how to communicate with people. Everybody communicates very differently, whether it's nonverbal cues or if they're an aggressive speaker, passive speaker. You have to learn how each person speaks and what they're actually saying, because the words that they're saying may not actually be what they mean.
Yeah.
And so to effectively communicate with each other, I think, is one of the keys in retaining your relationship, because you can have fights with each other in a marriage because of miscommunication so often. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So being able to learn what your spouse's or your significant other's way of talking is, I think is going to be a huge part in the success of your relationship.
I totally agree. I think communication is probably the number one. It seems so cliche to say that because it's such a big word, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of it boils down to that. So we called, my mom called.
Because texting was not good.
I just wanted to call. So she called in, and if it works, I don't know if we could hear it on the recording. We'll try to play a little bit. But if not, basically what she said was, well, she kind of gave a little background. My parents, more similar to Gina, they were pregnant and married basically all in the same time. So there wasn't really a time of their lives where they were married and just kind of like a young, happily married couple without children. It all happened together. So while she didn't really feel like she knew herself as an adult, because they've been together since they were 17 without my dad, she did say that there was a time in their lives when my sister was 6 months old, where my dad got laid off for 8 months or so. And so she went to work and he stayed home. And what that did for them was gave him a sense of appreciation for what my mom did for the next, X amount of years. So she said the one thing was that they always understood each other. They always understood the sacrifices one another was making, whether my dad was working long hours or my mom was home with children. They kind of both understood what the other one was going through. But the other thing that she said was, and I totally love this, and I just said it to a friend the other day, not knowing that this is something my mom has said, marriage is a long dance. And there are times that you're both dancing to the same song and you're in rhythm and that's great. And then there are times that you're stepping on each other's toes. And when I said this to a friend the other day, I took it one step further to say, there's also times when you're going to sit the song out, and that's okay. But if you can continue to choose that person as your dance partner, that's how you're going to get through all of it, the thick of it. She even said that sometimes you choose to stay together because it's the best thing for the family. And when you get through those rough times and you come out on the other end, you're like, oh, I'm so glad we stayed together because I really love this guy. Other times you choose to stay together because you love that person and that you know you love that person in those moments, and you're just kind of recognizing that this is going to be a rough time, but we're going to stay together. So I think it was, and they've been married for 38 years. They've been together for probably 42. two at this point. And they've had three children and they're empty nesters. So I feel like it was good advice from all three of our parents. At the end of the day, I feel because the three of us and Liz were so in the thick of it, sometimes it can be really hard to see beyond the next year or five.
It's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine what 40 years married looks like. But we'll leave you with this. It is a long dance. And if today you're stepping on each other's toes, tomorrow, hopefully you guys are in sync. And if not, you can also sit this song out and just wait for the next awesome beat to come along. And thank you so much for listening to For Mom Friends podcast. If you like what you're listening to, we hope that you subscribe and follow us on Instagram at For Mom Friends and share with us what you're going through. We'd love to hear about it. We would happily make a podcast episode about it. Thank you for spending your day with us. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.